Did y'all know they had a cat at the first Christmas?
Scare off the mice.
Scare off the mice, is that it? Okay. All right. I want to talk to you this morning about Christmas is your gift. So often we think that the holiday season is about Jesus. And I talked about this last night in our Christmas Eve service, how a lot of times we'll talk about Jesus is the reason for the season. And I've said it, I've written about it, and the truth is, Jesus is not the reason for the season. If all we do at Christmas time is tell the story about the birth of Jesus, and that's our complete understanding of Christmas, we've missed it. As I talked about last night, that Christmas, the reason for the season is you and me. Because we have this problem, and we need a gift that can fix it. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the gift. I want you to think for just a second about the best Christmas gift you ever received. Go back in time, as a kid, about that one gift that you got that, man, you were pumped up. I can tell you what mine was. I can't tell you how old I was. I can't tell you. I looked and Googled a while trying to find a picture of it to show you, but here's what it was. I can remember I wanted a bicycle. And so I basically asked for a bicycle for Christmas. And I came up on Christmas morning as a kid, and there it was. I still remember. It was a purple Stingray. It had the, what do you call those handlebars that came up like this? It had a banana seat. You remember the banana seats? And it kind of was purple and had little sparkles in it. And here's the cool part. It had a gear shifter. 5 speeds. And I can remember coming out and saying, man, this is the best gift I have ever gotten. I remember it. I don't remember all the other gifts that I got. But that Stingray bicycle was so cool, and I was so excited about it that, man, I got on it and started going. And I know this is hard for young people to understand, but one of the things that I did to even be cooler is I could go and get a, what do you call those, clothespin, and get a baseball card, and I could put it on my spoke. And then I'd have a little vroom. Well, it wasn't like that, but and I'll never forget. I remember that about that Stingray bicycle, the best gift they ever got. I also remember riding it on our street and having a wreck and going like this and having to have my mom pick the gravel out of my hand. You ever have the gravel picked out of your hand? It's funny. I remember those two things about this bicycle. Now, the funny thing about that best gift, I have no clue what happened to it. I don't know if we sold it in a garage sale. I don't know if I outgrew it for a bigger bicycle. I don't know what happened to that bicycle, but it's no longer in existence. Isn't that funny? The best gift that I'm 64. I got it when I was in grade school. I still remember it, can see it, and yet I don't even know what happened to it. Isn't that weird? You see, for many Christians and a lot of non-Christians, this is it. As a matter of fact, you're headed towards depression. We build this December 25th up for all the wrong reasons. We're so excited. We're singing the music. We're decorating the trees. Y'all, this is the honest truth. We finished decorating yesterday because we're so far behind. And I even said to Julie, why? And she said, grandchildren. So Liam has a decorated house. But seriously, everybody celebrates it. Everybody in Mount Ida. I would bet most people in Mount Ida have a Christmas tree. And I would bet most people put gifts under it. And I would bet most people probably even have a nativity scene. And I would bet most people have it opened up to Luke chapter 2 for the Christmas story. I would bet you, both believer and non-believer, this is it. We put the decorations, we get all excited, but it's always a letdown when it becomes the holiday. As soon as we open the gifts, it's over. I mean, think about it. You got to go home and take all that stuff down. Adam, you got to go and undecorate the place that you do business with. I mean, think about it. It's a lot of work. Amen. And unfortunately, we have gotten into a culture that celebrates the holiday without celebrating the reason for the holiday. And as I try to tell the kids, and as I'm trying to tell you, and as I'm trying to remind myself, the reason for the holiday is because I need it. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And Christmas is about the gift that God sent into the world to fix us. Every single person in this room is broken. Every one of you. And the only way, and Julie read about it over there, it happened in Genesis. We all got broken in Genesis, this problem called sin. And the only way to fix the problem was through this child that came into the world to die in order that we could be forgiven, that we could have life. You see, it's all about the child and the reason that he came. And the reason he came is stated very plainly in Genesis, I mean Romans chapter 3. Listen to what verse 23 says. This ought to humble you. For everyone has sinned. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. You may be good, but you're not good enough. We all fall short. And then listen to what it says. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. You see, we have a problem. It's sin. I'm not surprised that you mess up. I'm not surprised that I mess up. That's why He came. He brought light into a dark world. But you got to understand that Christmas is about this gift, not the one that you gave to your kids or your family or your friends. This gift that God gave to you and me is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15. It says it this way in the New International Version. It says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Paul says, I can't even describe this gift. It's so good. You see, Christmas is about a gift that is beyond our ability to describe. It's Jesus. The New Living Translation says it this way, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. You can put away the nativity scene and you can put away the Christmas music and the decorations and you can put away Jesus until next year. That scares me. Because it's never meant to be that way. He is such an incredibly wonderful gift. People, if I can get anything across to our church and our community, being a Christian ought to be fun. It ought to be good for a lot of reasons. We've got the gift. We've got the indescribable, eternal gift. John said it this way in John 3:16. He said it this way. This is how God loved the world. It says, He gave His one and only Son so that. I love that in the Greek. So that means, here's the reason He gave His Son. So that whoever believes in Him will not perish. But what does He have? Eternal life. Yeah, Plummer, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but he lost his mom last night or yesterday morning. And we were conversing last night. And you know, the one thing Plummer said is, she's better off now. Because of hope. Because of an indescribable gift named Jesus. And that hope came so that when your body, hey, I'm 64, I'm learning. My body's falling apart. Now, I'm going to play pickleball and I'm going to try to take good care of it, but it's falling apart. But guess what? I will never completely fall apart. This body will stop, but I won't, and I'll get a new one. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's about a guy named Jesus who came and He died to fix us. Those presents won't fix anything. Most of you have gotten presents all your life and you're still sorry, right? Don't fix sin. Doesn't. And we need to understand that it's about fixing us. It's about saving us. It's about giving us hope. I apologize. I was so irritated with my sermon last Sunday. I didn't even ask Julie if she liked it. I do this ritual every single Sunday. I'll come over and I'll say, how'd I do? And she's usually pretty honest. And she'll say, well, you didn't embarrass the family, or you did good. I liked it and all this. I didn't even ask her because I didn't like it. You know, I was real excited and got in here and got distracted. I don't know what my issue was. But I was talking about the angels coming and speaking to the shepherds. Here are these just common, everyday Mount Ida shepherds out in the field. And they have this angel and this angelic host come up. And this is what the angel says. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, said, I bring you good news. Good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Do you need joy? Do you need some good news? Well, don't look under the tree. He says, I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah. Yes, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. And those shepherds, those everyday people, they wanted to see this thing. They wanted to see God in the flesh. And when you read about it in verses 17 and 18, they were tickled pink. They couldn't quit talking about the gift. They couldn't quit talking about the joy that Jesus brought to them. You see, Christmas is about unwrapping that baby who is God and who loves you and who will die for you. And yet, people see Christmas as a holiday. That is the tragedy to me. It's good news. It's the best day because it was our answer to our problem called sin. This last week, I was having my quiet time. Some of y'all hear me talk about a quiet time. That's where I get along with God. And I read the scriptures and I ask God to speak to me through the scriptures. And He does, boy. This last week, and I usually put it on a text to the men and a couple other people. But I was reading in Romans chapter 7, and this is, it has to do with Christmas, believe me. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I was reading this. Paul's speaking. You know Paul, he's the champion of all champions in the Christian faith. And this is what Paul said in verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. Boy, it makes me feel good. When Paul can say, I know nothing good lives in me, That is my sinful nature. He says this. How many of you feel like this? I want to do what is right, but I can't. How many of you felt like that? I want to do what's right. I'm going to read my Bible next year. If you didn't read it yesterday, we're going to help you, and pick up your Bible reading plans in the back. But we all know what it's like to miss a day, including your pastor. He says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Do you ever feel like that? You just want to start over and you do good for a week and then you fail and you start over. Am I the only one that does that? But listen to what he says. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. You see, most of the time, the reason we don't live the life is right up here. We lose the war in our mind. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Do you ever feel like that? Miserable? Because you know, as a believer, you shouldn't be the way you are. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who? He asked the question, who will set me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death? You ever feel that way? Who's going to help me break that habit? Who's going to help me change? Then listen to what he says. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, I was reading that last week and I realized the reason I need Jesus is because I mess up every single day. And you will never live a perfect life. Hopefully you will get better. But you will never live a perfect life. And thank goodness Jesus died because of that. You see, we need to understand that failures come with living, but Jesus Christ corrects the failures and forgives us. Christmas is about you. It's about me. It's about my need for help. And the help can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the angel came in Matthew 1:21, and he said something to Joseph. And again, this goes to the reason for the season. Is you? He said in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph and Mary about Mary's child. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Now listen to this. Here's the good news. For he will save his people from their sins. That's Christmas! Quit celebrating the stupid holiday. Celebrate the reason. It's freedom. It's forgiveness. It's love. There's two responses to the gift, and this is the best way I can illustrate it, and I'm done. I know it's Christmas morning and you've got things to do, but the best way I can describe this is last week we celebrated Christmas with our youngest grandson, Liam. Zane. Thank you, Julie. Hopefully they're not watching the video this morning. But we traveled to Little Rock last Sunday and we were real excited. When did we go, son? Saturday. See, that's why I'm married. Helpmate, leader. We get there, and so we have this cool basketball thing for children. We were really excited. We're going to get him started on that NBA career now. So we get it in the house, and we're trying to get him to open it, you know. You know how it is, you parents. You want him to rip it off and... So we'd pull and he'd kind of look at us and pull. And then next thing we know, he's on top of the box. And he's kind of sliding on the box. And he's just messing with the box. And he doesn't get it. This is his gift. And so we have to get it out and make a big deal about it. And he's still looking at us like, basketball. MBA, future, you know. He just doesn't get it. And so finally his mama gets him and we bring him up and we throw the ball in the hoop and we're all clapping, trying to get him excited, you know, about this gift. Honest truth, he probably just rather have the box. Just rather have the box. The gift was there, but he just didn't get it. Go forward to Liam, who now likes to open gifts. He's 3 and a half, and he kind of gets it, you know. And I can barely wait because we got some gifts at the house, and we can give him the gift. And, you know, Liam, he's going to open the gift, and he's going to want to do what with the gift? Play with it. If it's a truck or a train, man, he's out of there. He's done with family and good cheer and all that. If he has a train or a toy, he's out of there. And if he has to share it, there may be a fight, you know, because it's his gift. That's exactly the way it is with Jesus. You can know it's a gift, you can know all about it, but until you want it, until you receive it, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. It'd be just a holiday that you have to clean up. Listen, if I wasn't saved, I probably wouldn't be. Let's just give presents year round. You know, why have to take all this down? John 1:12 tells you how to make it yours, and I'm done. I love this. John 1:12, it says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God." The word believe is not just knowing about. The scriptures teach that Satan knows that there's a God. Believing about Jesus and God ain't going to do you any good. But the word belief gives the idea of trust. Trusting your life with, following. And the person who crosses into God's family is the person who's heard about the gift and says, "I want it. I'm broken." And if you're broken, going to church won't fix you. But the gift will. The gift is yours when you accept it and say, "I believe it, I trust it, I bank my life on it." And if you make that step, it changes you. It changes you. It's not just saying a prayer and raising your hand. No, it's believing. It's believing and trusting and accepting and living. And listen, I'm pretty excited about the coming up year because I really believe year 5 is going to be a breakout year at First Baptist Mount Ida. I really believe that. Because we've got the best gift for our community, Jesus. But we've got to share it. Man, I look out at y'all and I'm just grateful for you. Christmas, hopefully this morning, was a good thing. Hopefully you'll go home and put the stuff up and think, it's still good. But I want you to know Christmas is about you. It's not about the season. It's not about holidays. It's about you. What you do with him is your responsibility. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here in this room. And I pray they have the gift, that it's theirs. I pray that they don't know about it, but they have it. And Father, I pray that Mount Ida will be known as a church that shares the gift. And the gift is you. Man, if we have you, you fix broken lives. And Father, you give us second chances, third chances, sometimes 25 or more. And this Christmas, it's good news. I just pray that we would finish this season with a joy, but we'd come back in January ready to knock it out of the park. With our children, with our youth, with our adults. I just thank you for First Baptist Mount Ida, and I thank you for bringing us here for a family. And I pray we'd all go home with a smile on our face. In Jesus' name, amen.